Jack Taylor said something very interesting this morning. I've spent a little time with this fellow this last week, and he didn't mention this at the early morning service, but at the close of the second service this morning, he just made a fleeting reference to John 10:10, and I just want to kind of put a closing twist on this thing tonight, and then we're all gonna break and go home. But I want to leave you with a thought as we get ready to do that. But in the 10th chapter of the book of John, the 10th verse, the reference that he made at the very close of his message in the second service this morning was the message that so many of us are familiar with, where Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life, and they may have it." The King James says, "more abundantly," and the version that I have here, the New International Version, says, "to the full," that you might have life to the full. But Jack's reference this morning was that you really can't understand that unless you look at the first half of that verse. And the first half of that verse says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it to the full," or more abundantly. There's an interesting verse over in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs that I don't want you to look at. You'll just have to bear with me for a few minutes, where Solomon admitted that there are three things, and then he corrected himself, and then he says there's four things that he couldn't understand, that even mystified King Solomon, who was supposedly the wisest of all men. And he says that those four things were the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And he says those are the four things that just defy all description. The early Christians, following the visitation of the Holy Spirit in the first century, interpreted that in a very interesting way. And the more I have thought about that, the more I believe that they really did have the correct interpretation of what Solomon was talking about, that he said that the way of a man with a maid really refers to Christ's relationship with his church, and that the way of a ship in the sea refers to the mystery of God's preservation of his people, of providing for them across the centuries, and that the way of the serpent on the rock is a reference to Jesus' victory over Satan, and that the way of an eagle in the air is the kind of life that you and I are called upon to lead when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're called to lead the life of the eagle being the king of all the birds, and the eagle being the one who is able to fly without effort, and the eagle being the one who is able to see with the eye of God. An eagle flying at 20,000 feet in clear air can see for 40 miles, can spot a lamb 40 miles away, can spot a snake on the ground 40 miles away, can spot the eaglets back in his nest in a 40 mile. That's how sharp the eye of the eagle is. And so the way of the eagle in the air basically referring to the fact that we are called to be a different kind of people. We have different abilities than all of the others who are there. And so when it comes down to this concept in John 10:10, that Jesus says, "I've come not only that you can have life, but that you can have it for the full, that you can have it more abundantly," he's talking about the restoration of that which was ours originally, which has been stolen by the thief. Where he says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy." And the reference Jack made this morning, which was such a powerful reference, was that what Jesus does is he gives back that which has been stolen. And he resurrects that which was killed. And he reconstructs that which was destroyed, where the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus comes to give, and he comes to give life and resurrection, and he comes to reconstruct. It all boils down to the fact that we have authority. We have been given authority through Jesus Christ. And the problem is that we have substituted the world's methods in finance, in obtaining wealth and obtaining health and in obtaining happiness. We have substituted the world's methods to that which God has already planned for us. In the 24th Psalm, the psalmist says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Now, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then what right does the devil have to it? He doesn't have any right to it. But we have given him that right by relinquishing our own right. It belongs to God. It is God's, and God has given it to us. It now belongs to us. So all we do is take that which is already given. It is legally ours. It becomes a matter of legality. That healing is legally ours. That life is legally ours. That happiness is legally ours. That provision is legally ours. God has given it to us. It belongs to us. Now, however God wants to give that out to us is God's business. It'll come in many, many varied ways. As many varied ways as Jesus healed the sick, so healing comes to us. But today, there is no set formula. In as many ways as Jesus touched and provided, so there are ways that God will touch and provide, even today. But I want to encourage you tonight, as we get ready to go out of here, to take that which God has already given to you. That Satan has no right to your health. He has no right to make you sick. He makes you sick only as you allow him to make you sick. He has no right to make you poor. You're poor only as you allow Satan to make you poor. He has no right to destroy your home or to destroy your life or to destroy your business. That we have the right and the legal authority to stand against that kind of thing and to simply say, this is who we are in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, not only life, but I've come to give it to the full. Give it to you abundantly. Now, how does that translate down, Dan, into where you are? With your need, or Cindy, where you are with your need. It translates down that we can step in and we can do things in the world's ways, and God will oftentimes bless that, but there is a higher way to do that. And the higher way is to trust in God. The higher way is to let God. We make our needs known to God and to God's people, and then we step back and we say, Lord, we're going to let you work this out. We're going to trust you. We're going to take whatever comes, and we will take it with joy, and we will receive it with joy. But God is our source. And when we recognize God as our source, then God begins to bless us in those areas. It's as simple as the word. It's simple. Our problem is that we hear that, and we nod in agreement because this is a very churchy thing to say. And then we go on about our business. And we go on and drop right back into the culture from which we come and allow these things to come roaring in against us. And there comes a time when we simply need to stand up and say, Satan, I will not allow you to do this. I will not allow you to take my life. I'm not allowing you to take my health. I'm not allowing you to take that which God has already promised to me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And the scripture is very plain. When you rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, he flees. That's all. He simply can't stay.